Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verse 39 this evening. Luke chapter 6, verse 39.
Luke 6, verse 39 reads this way. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together. And Lord, being reminded once again where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. So we do thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. We do ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and understand you and the salvation that you've given to us to a greater degree, Lord, that we might be truly your witnesses by your mercy and grace. Again, bless and build our lives, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply, Can the Blind Lead the Blind? And the Lord is still talking, although there are multitudes that are there. He is zeroing in and trying to give his disciples some important truths. And so tonight we'll consider those things. And this is a message, again, from the Lord to his disciples. And the three thoughts that we'll consider tonight are the Lord's concern for the focus of his disciples, what we're focused on. Secondly, the Lord's concern for the fruit of his disciples. And the last thought will be the Lord's concern for the foundation of his disciples. All these things are important for a healthy walk with the Lord, and he wants us to understand what he's wanting us to do and how he's wanting us to walk here in this world for his honor and glory. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 39. And here the Lord's concern is not that his disciples place their eyes on the wrong objective, but that the disciples' objective would keep their eyes on the Lord. Amen? There's a lot of distractions. We don't have to worry about the distractions if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, today, there's a lot of people that profess they know the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get to talking with them, you find that they also believe in other things that would be a contradiction to the Word of God. They'll say, well, you know, not only was he a good teacher, a good man, but also you can believe in all these other things as well. And Jesus Christ said, I am the only way. Amen. There's only the Lord's the only way. He is the truth and the way that leads to life. And there's no other exception. There's no other God that we would ever look to. So there's only one God, amen, that created and spoke everything into existence. And he's the one that we want to follow. And so as we consider this, notice what he says again, verse 39. He spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? And of course, the answer is absolutely not. I mean, they can. They're not going to get very far. And so, and likewise also, if somebody is telling us that there is somebody other than Jesus, they are blinded to the truth, are they not? And so that's an automatic, we don't want to follow them. If there is something that contradicts the Word of God, that's a red flag for you and I to say, this is not the person we want to follow, right? He's saying you're going to end up in a ditch, right? And ditches, when you fall into them, they are not always easy to get out of. So we want to be careful that we don't fall into these ditches. So it's not just, this is a spiritual truth that he's guiding us to understand, that we're careful not to just buy into everything that calls itself worshiping God, right? There's a lot of people who say, oh, this, you can do this and you can do that. But if the Bible tells us, if the Word of God tells us this is not the way to do things, then that is what we want to follow, in spite of what is popular. And by the way, listen, we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to be submissive to him and not anything else. And so a lot of times people will look at what's popular, what's in fashion. And by the way, listen, if it's in fashion to go after the things that are against the Word of God, may we be unpopular. Amen. May we take the badge, if you will, or whatever they want to do, pin us and mark us as being unpopular. I would rather be unpopular and be in step with the Lord than to be out of sync with him and to be accepted by the world. So these are the things that are important. And by the way, if serving the Lord is the right thing to do, then may we make serving the Lord, according to the word of God, fashionable. Even if the world doesn't accept it, may we take it upon ourselves for it to be our fashion, if you will, or what we would desire to say, this is who I want to align myself with and I want to follow after. And we can be rest assured that God will see us safely through this world in a way that would honor and glorify Him. And that's the whole thing, really, for the child of God, that we would be found faithful when the Lord returns or when we stand before the Lord. Either way, it's coming soon, isn't it? Either the Lord comes physically or our life will be over like a vapor, the Bible says. So we're only here for a short while. So the greatest investment that you and I can make is to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And again, like we looked at this morning, by the way, is a continuation here we need Him, right, to do that for us. We need Him. So look what he says here in verse 40. The disciple is not above his master. That's a good perspective. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So, of course, the Lord is our example. He's our master. And he says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? We should stop right there just for a moment and hear what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, you and I are flawed. Amen? Is that what he said? You and I are flawed. We have our own errors. So should we go about looking at other people's lives and saying this is what they need to do? Now, here's and what he's talking about here is he's talking about your brother's eye. This is somebody who's already in right fellowship with the Lord. Why would the Lord say something like that? Because you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, are we not? Yes. We are. And so here's the thing. You and I come from different places in life, with different events in life. And you know, the Lord is very patient and gracious and kind to bring us to salvation, is he not? And he's also very gracious and patient and kind to grow us in our salvation. I will tell you this, in my relationship with the Lord, there are things that I have learned in the last year or two that I wish I would have learned at the very beginning of my salvation. But here's the truth of the matter. That didn't happen for me. And by the way, before God saved me in eternity past, he knew the rate of growth that would happen and take place in my life. He knew. And by the way, he's also gracious to patiently wait for us to get to the place where we can receive these truths. Isn't that great? And he's kind. Aren't you glad God doesn't get rid of a single one of his children? Aren't you glad God isn't ever finished and says, I'm done with you. I wish I would have never started with you. What are you? You're such a mess. But he knew all that before he saved us. Amen. That is that we're all messes, aren't we? So allow the Lord to work with our mess and allow the Lord to work with everybody else's mess that belongs with the Lord, that belongs to the Lord, right? Because it takes the Lord grace and mercy and kindness to bring us along into his path. So he's saying, focus on your biggest problem. Do you know what our biggest problem is? We look at it in the mirror, right? I see many people pointing. We're our own biggest problem. And so, Lord, I need you to show me your way for my life. And may I pray that you bless all of my loved ones that are walking in your way. And by the way, may you bless the lost loved ones that I have to know your way. And may you bless all of your people, all of your children that you love. May we love one another as the Lord has loved us. But if we set ourselves up as judges in the lives of other people, we do the Lord a disservice and we do believers a disservice. You know, I would dare say, I'm just going to venture to guess, I would venture to say, you know when you're not in step with the Lord. I would also venture to say that you don't need me to tell you when you're not walking with the Lord. In fact, I would dare say, you know more when you're out of sync with the Lord than I will ever know. Isn't that the truth? We know when things aren't right between us and the Lord, and aren't we glad that God is very patient and gracious to work with us and to bring us back? You know, when we wander out of the fold of the Lord, he is the faithful shepherd that comes seeking us out. Isn't that great? He will seek us out to bring us back into his fold. But again, as we consider this thought, he says here, now he says, why, verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But if we back up a little bit, let's put this in context. He says this, the disciple is not above his master. And who's our master? The Lord Jesus Christ. And who's our judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so is the disciple above our master, the Lord Jesus Christ? No, he's not. We're not, are we? So if we are the disciple and we're not above his master, above our master, he's saying, leave the position of master to me. And you be a diligent follower, because we have so much to look at. We ought to be so focused in our relationship with the Lord and realize this. Everybody, every child of God has their own rate of growth. Do they not? Now, if it was up to me, I would have been the Apostle Paul the first day I got saved. Was that God's plan? No. Was the Apostle Paul what he was from day one? Was he the same Apostle Paul at the end of his life? Absolutely not. He said, I have learned some things in my walk with the Lord, didn't he? I have learned things in my understanding of the truth of the Word of God. And so likewise, you and I have that same place and that same position in our relationship with the Lord. And we have to allow Him. If we diligently seek Him, He's promised to show Himself, to reveal Himself and His way and His will for our lives as we seek Him. And by the way, He shows us specifically for our life how to walk with Him. Now, I can't take somebody else and say, now you need to be over here. You need to do, if you cross these T's and dot these I's, then who's become the master? I've become the master. Where's the Lord? He's not there. Is that the way the Lord works? If you'll do what I think is right, oh no. Oh, listen, I can't even do what I know is right without the Lord. I need the Lord to help me to do what is right. So he's saying the focal point is on our, this is where revival comes. If we will focus on walking upright by the power and grace of the Lord in our own lives, we will be right with the Lord and we'll be right. We will be a magnet to God's people to encourage them in the right way. Isn't that great? Listen, the love of God ought to fill the life of every believer in such a way that people say, you know what, I really enjoy being around them. They encourage me. You know Christians like that? They're a blessing to me. They always pick me up when I'm around. I always feel good when I'm around them. I'm learning more about what God is wanting to do in my life, and I'm learning more about how good God is to me. Even when things aren't going my way, God is faithful, and I love to be around them because they're a blessing. That ought to be our testimony by the grace of God, don't you think? For every child of God, that we ought to encourage one another. The enemy is the devil. And by the way, the world, the lost world, is not our enemy. Listen, the lost world are the ones for whom Christ died for, are they not? The lost world was our position in place at one point in life, was it not? We were in that boat. Isn't that funny how if we're not careful, now we're over here. You know, who are you guys? We were in the same boat. And God is wanting us, He's wanting to use us to bring them to Him. Isn't that amazing? Because you and I understand the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace of God personally, and now you and I, by understanding that, can show people the love of God that He's shown us, that they would want the same thing. We're not going to give them a list of do's and don'ts. We're going to give them the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will guide them into what's right and what's wrong. See, we're not going to say, now look, if you'll do this and if you'll do, no, that's not what the way the Lord, that's not the way the Lord saved us, is it? He showed us. God never came to you and I and said, okay, now these are the Ten Commandments. When you do these the right way, why, we'd never do it, would we? We would never succeed in that. How did He come to you and I? He said, your sins have condemned you, but my grace and my love has paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And if you will by faith place your trust in me or your faith in me, your sins will be forgiven. How many of them? Wasn't that a wonderful day? And do you know that God wants that day and every day to continue, that we might reflect and remember what God has given to us, that we would walk in that joy? You know, nobody can steal that from us. Nobody can take that away from us. Isn't that great? So you and I have been given much, haven't we? Eternal life. Isn't that amazing? And so he says, keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every time we take our eyes off of the Lord, we're going to sink. In many different, you know, we can sink in more than one way. We can sink personally by failing the Lord and getting involved in things that God says we should not be involved in. We can also sink by being critical of other people. We can also fail by having an attitude of holiness that doesn't come from the Lord, but comes from our own little mind. But God is the one who's holy, and he wants to impart his righteousness into our lives, but his righteousness is accompanied by love, isn't it? And mercy. And God loves mercy, doesn't he?
Yes.
Let me try that again. God loves mercy.
Amen.
Amen? Aren't we glad that God loves mercy? Because we are the recipients of his mercy. And so praise the Lord for that. So he says, because he's the master, let's follow him. And then he says this, verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So he says, you've got this little speck in your brother's eye, and you've got this big old log in yours, right? So the Lord's putting proper perspective on that. He says, your problems are bigger than the person you're trying to help. Isn't that what he's saying? Your need is greater. You know, if we looked at that, you know, Lord, I need you in a big way every day. I need you. And if we'll focus on that, we won't have time to think. In fact, we won't even see fit to have the position of scrutinizing the lives of other people who believe in the Lord. And that's where he's coming from. He says, keep your eyes in the right perspective, in the right place. First of all, keep your eyes on the master. That's where we need. And then secondly, if you want to put your eyes somewhere else, and we need to, on ourselves and what we need the Lord to do for us. And if we'll work, you know, Lord, I think it's important. The Lord would get up early in the morning before it was daylight to pray.
Amen.
You know, that's so important to do that, to start our day saying, God, you are number one in my life. Is he not worthy of that position? Lord, I need, and you decide the time. We're not gonna put, you know, my right, okay, this is what I think you need to do. No. What does God want you to do? I would dare say this. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can tell me later. I would dare say God wants to hear from every one of us every day.
Amen.
Every day God wants to hear from us. Why? Because he loves us. He's not demanding it. He loves us. Now, I will say this, he is worthy of it.
Yes.
Amen? And so he's worthy of it. And what time of the day shall we give? What time of the day shall we give the Lord? Shall we give him the afternoon? And we let, you know how life goes. If you let the late morning come, if you let mid-morning come, the whole day's gone. Because one thing snowballs into something else, into something else, into something else. And before you come to yourself, it's the end of the day and you are tired. And you are ready for some sleep. So the best place, the best time to give the Lord is in the morning. And whether it be a couple of minutes or whatever it might be between you and the Lord, and then Lord, fan the flames of prayer in my life. That you might be so important to me that I would get up earlier to meet with you. And that's, again, between you and the Lord. So he says, don't look at anybody else. Keep the focus on yourself. And then he says, verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Do you see what the Lord is saying? You and I never, ever, 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 ever have a right to tell other people their problems. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that you and I would dare say, because we've been pulled out of the same miry clay, the same failures and the same faults, we've been, and we're gonna tell somebody else This is what you need to do. No, listen. Let the Lord tell them as God wants to tell us, right? He doesn't want us to get our information from anybody else. He wants us to go to him that he might work in our lives. So he says, again, verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the... And by the way, I think this person's doing it in a nice way. I don't think he's saying it... I mean, look at it. And thou sayest... So here's the Lord. And thou say to thy brother, brother, isn't that kind? Brother... Let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye. That sounds nice to me, doesn't it? And then notice this. When thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. What does the Lord say? Thou what? Thou hypocrite. You know, the moment we start trying to help other people out and directing them to do what we think they should do, you know what the problem is with that? We've set ourselves up as the master. We set ourselves up as to say, I know what you need. Do we really know what anybody needs, or does God know? You know, I don't know what you really need in your life. In fact, if you asked me, what do you think about something? I can tell you what, if the Lord speaks on it, I can give you some counsel, but I can never tell you this is the will of God for you. Never. I can never tell that to you. I would tell you, this is what I think the Word of God says, but you will have to go to the Lord yourself for his direction in your life. I cannot tell you this is God's will for your life. I can't know that. God won't tell me that, but he will tell you. Won't he?
Yes.
He tells us. So how can I ever come to somebody else and say, this is what you need to be doing? Do I really know that? No, I don't know that. Who knows that? There's only one person, right? And that's the Lord. And so may we understand what God is saying. You know what the Lord is saying? Keep your eyes where? On him. Exactly right. Keep your eyes on me. So he says, let's look at verse 42 again. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine own eye. That sounds so helpful. When thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. Notice what he says. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now here's the thing. It sounds as if the Lord's saying, okay, now when you fix your problem, now you can help your brother. But is he really saying that? Is he really saying that we're going to come to this place where we're going to be able to tell other believers their problems? No, he's saying be concerned about your own walk with the Lord and love your brothers. That's how, listen, you know, you and I are encouraged by people that will pray for us, that will love us, amen, like the Lord loves us. That will bring us closer to the Lord than anything else to love one another like that. And by the way, it will also prove the work of God in our lives. I'll never forget. I read this story. It was a Christian lady, and I don't remember who she was. And she was dealing with her daughter. I think her daughter was about 4 or 5 years old. And this was back, I think, around in the 1800s. I forget whose wife she was. But anyway, she was giving her testimony. She had written it down. I was reading it. And what happened was that her daughter went, and she wasn't supposed to help herself to the fruit bowl. This is when they had fruit bowls out. And I don't know what it was, an apple or something she had picked up from there. And she said, you know, I could have scolded her and corrected her. But I decided to bring this to the Lord because he's the one that changes hearts. And she prayed. And they had a staircase, and they were wooden stairs. And so she heard her daughter take, she saw the daughter. She didn't know that the daughter didn't know that the mother saw her take the apple, and she heard her go up the stairs. And so she said, I took this time to pray and ask the Lord to show her that this was wrong. And do you know what happened? Just a few moments after that, after her time in prayer with the Lord, she heard the little footsteps coming down the stairs. And she was where she was seated, she was able to see the fruit bowl, and she saw the little arm of the little girl put the apple or whatever the fruit was back in the jar, or in the bowl, right? And so And so isn't that something the Lord can do better than you and I will ever be able to do? Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to correct our children. But she wanted to bring the Lord in to work in the lives, because God can do things that you and I can never do. And that is to change hearts. So he says this. Now we saw the Lord's concern for the focus of his disciples. Now we see the Lord's concern for the fruit of his disciples. Notice what he says here in verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That makes sense, right? You can't have both. It's either one way or the other. If the tree is bad, the fruit's going to be bad. It's never going to be good. If the tree is good, the fruit's not going to be bad. It'll be good. So who is the husbandman? The Lord is, isn't he? He's the one that takes care of the fruit bearing, right? He says, if you abide in me, John 15, and I abide in you, you will bear fruit. Then you will bear more fruit, he says. And then you will bear much fruit. And that is, and what kind of fruit would that be? That is God working out his will and his way in our lives to where we have the fruit of the Spirit, the kindness, the gentleness, the long-suffering, all these good things that the Lord would have in our lives. So, again, he says this, verse 44, for every tree, he says this, the Lord says, is known by his own fruit. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
You never get oranges from an apple tree. Will never happen. But you do get either good apples or bad apples from a good tree, right? Good tree. And so he says the tree is known by the fruit that he bears. He is likening you and I to the kind of fruit that we bear. What is it that we are bearing? And what is the Lord really looking for? Is he looking for what only people can see? No. No. He's looking for who and what we really are when nobody else is looking. That's what he sees. Amen. He is able to see what we are thinking about, what we are living for, what we really are all about. He's able to look into our hearts and into our minds. And he's saying, so what's in there? And is that good? And if not, we need to go to the husbandman who will make the tree good and the fruit good. So again, he says, for the good tree, verse 43, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. So this that will never happen. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And that, by the way, is what God calls good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Then he says this, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Whatever the heart is filled up with, if it's filled up with turmoil and unkindness and self-centeredness, that's going to come out. And if we see that coming out of our lives, here's the news. We can't change that, but God can. We can't. When we see that, we need to bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, help. Help here, Lord. Help take this out of my life. I need you. Could you ever take that out on your own? You might could go for a little time, a little spell, but because that's our nature. That's our nature. Our nature is selfish.
Yes.
Selfish. We look out for number one. I mean, that's the world's motto, isn't it? Look out for number one. And if anybody gets in your way, push them out of the way. Run them over, whatever it takes. That's the world's philosophy, but it's certainly not the Lord's philosophy. And so we want to walk according to the will and way of the Lord. And he's telling us right here, he's saying, look at the abundance of the heart. Look at what's coming out of your life, because God sees it all. You know, we can act one way in front of people, can we not? Brother, sister, and we can act some different way when nobody else is watching. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? We are portraying ourselves to be something that we are not. But here's the real question. Do we want to be true? Through and through. We need the Lord then. And here's the good news. God wants to make us upright before him. But we have to be willing to call what God says is sin, sin. When God was correcting this disciple, and he was saying the disciple's not above his master. And when you start judging fellow believers, is that a problem in the eyes of the Lord? Does God want us to do that? He does not want us to do that. So you and I have to acknowledge that and say that is not right. And when we bring that before the Lord and we say, Lord, help me. I don't want to walk this way. I want to love as you loved. Isn't that great? Imagine you and I loving as the Lord loves. Wouldn't that be great? Do you think people would be encouraged by that? Believers? Absolutely. And here's the truth. Listen, we can't love like the Lord loves without the Lord. We need him in that. And how often do we need him? All the time and every day. So we have to come, because if we don't call upon the Lord and if we're not asking him to do this work in our lives, we won't go very far in one day. In one day, without calling upon the Lord, we will revert back. So we should pray every day, shouldn't we? And call upon the Lord that we don't walk in ourselves, but that we walk in the Lord. In Christ. So notice again here. He says, look at verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. So the Lord's saying, I can put a good treasure in there, and that's him. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Who's good? God is good, is he not? God is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And by the way, ourself is evil. And so we don't want that there. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is revealed is who's on the throne of our lives. Have you ever thought yourself to be so right and found out you were wrong? I think we've all done that. That's just human nature. You and I may have accused somebody of doing something they didn't even do. I won't ask you if you've ever been guilty of that, but I would dare say we've all been guilty of that. And that is really should that ought to cause us to say, oh my goodness, I better walk carefully and never do that again. Here's a question. Have you ever done it again? That's us, isn't it? Without the Lord walking in our own light, which is not light at all. So he's telling us. He says, for out of verse 45 at the bottom, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh, the servant speaks. And so what's filled up in the heart will determine what we do and say. That's what he's saying. And notice verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord? Listen to this, and do not the things which I say, because we're filled with self. That's why, every time. When I don't do what the Lord has said to do, which is to just mind my own business, is it not? And seek the Lord that I might walk upright before him, I'm not obeying the Lord. And I think that dishonors him. And so he asks this question, and I believe he asks this question to all of us. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Then let me say it like this, and don't answer this question, okay? Have you ever done something the Lord said don't do? We all have, I know that. And we still call him Lord. And the Lord is saying, why are you calling me Lord and walking in disobedience to me? You know what he's saying? It's a problem. He's saying, fix it. And you know, you and I both know where it gets fixed at. We can't do it. But who can? The Lord can. So that's what he's doing. He's getting you and I to evaluate our weak estate and look at our strength. Who's our strength? The Lord is our strength, is he not? Yes. We don't have this strength, so we've got to come to him. All right, now we're going to focus here on the last few verses here, and that is the Lord's concern for our foundation. We see he's concerned for our focus, what we're focused on as a disciple. He's also concerned, the Lord is concerned for the fruit of his disciples, what's being produced in our lives. And the last thought is the concern for the foundation of his disciples. What are we standing on? Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, listen to this, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So listen to that verse very carefully. Whosoever cometh to me, what is the first process of having a good foundation? You got to go to the Lord. Did you see that? You've got, listen, you cannot, and what does he mean by coming to the Lord? I'm convinced it is by following the example of our Savior, and that is finding time to spend with the Lord. That's what it means to come to him. Because you can read the Word of God, and reading the Word of God, please don't misunderstand me, is critically important, but not at the neglect of prayer. You can read the Word of God and neglect prayer, and prayer is like air to the believer. So if you're not praying, you're not breathing, and if you're not breathing, you're dying. We're dying. That is the air that we need by communicating with our God, and that's what opens up the Scriptures. That's what opens up the understanding that God wants you and I to walk in. Otherwise, we're just, we can have a lot of head knowledge. And what does the Lord say about that? It puffs us up. Oh, you need to hear from me today. Oh, let me load you down with some powerful wisdom. Not without the Lord, we don't. We're just a hot air balloon. We're just filled up with hot air is all we are. Without the Lord. Isn't that the truth? There is no applicable truth that will make a difference in anybody else's life. The Pharisees, they gave a bunch of rules, and they memorized Scripture, but they had no relationship with the Lord. So they were the Lord called, and John, they were whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. That's what he said. And they thought they were so impressive. Oh, you need to hear from me. Really? That's not what God thought. They said, you're the blind guides leading them into the ditch. You're the ones that are leading them down, and you're keeping them from eternal life. So notice verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me, listen to this, and heareth whose sayings? And what the Lord was just telling us. And what he means by that is that is the gold, if you will. That is the value of what God... We're hearing the Word of God and we're saying, I need that in my life. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, listen to this, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. You and I cannot do the sayings of the Lord without the Lord. And God set it up that way. Because who's the one that gets all the glory? Will he share his glory? He will give us his glory, but he won't share. So the way the Lord works that out is we praise him for working in our lives his mercy and grace. Amen. And we give him the glory for anything that's good that he gives us in our lives. And that's what's important. So he says, I will show you to these people that hear and do the sayings of the Lord. He is like a man which built an house, verse 48, and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You think the Apostle Paul was on the rock? Believe it or not, Peter was also on the rock, wasn't he? I didn't say he didn't have failures, but mostly he was walking upright. See, hear this very quickly. God is not saying we won't have failures, but predominantly we are going to be led by the Spirit. Listen, you and I know we are not perfect, but when the Spirit of God is involved, the spirit of kindness, the fruit of gentleness, all these good things, these attributes that belong to who? The Lord will be in our life because God will put them there. God never intended you and I to manufacture them, did he?
No.
But he said, I will give them to you.
Amen.
I will put them in your life. So what happens? When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That is a long-lasting testimony, the last thought. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Isn't that something? So the Lord himself is speaking to us, and he's saying, can the blind lead the blind? And by the way, without the Lord, aren't you and I blind? Without the Lord, can't we come to this conclusion and say, this is what's right, and be wrong? Without the Lord, can't we say, I think this is the right, and we can walk contrary to the Word of God? I know I can do that pretty easily. I can. I can get some self-righteous indignation and even get mad when I shouldn't be mad. Don't answer this. Have you ever done that? And walked away and said, I did not honor my Lord. Did not honor my God. Because God says this is the way to walk. And we can place ourselves in the place that only belongs to the Master. And so God says, realize how easy it is to get out of sync and out of step with our Savior. And then realize the importance of calling on Him and seeking Him diligently that He might fulfill His will in your life and mine. So the blind cannot lead the blind. And again, without Christ, you and I are blind. And if the work and will of God is not being performed in our lives, we need to call upon Him for His power and might, and that we might see, Lord, help me to see this Word of God as You would see it. And it's important for us to call upon the Lord and to thank Him and to praise Him, and we will. The natural response is going to be, let me say this, the supernatural response will be to praise the Lord for what He is doing when we call upon Him in our lives. When we call upon Him, He's going to work, and we'll have occasions to seek Him out in prayer and ask Him to give us more. And let me ask you this question. Do you think God will withhold any good thing from any one of His children? That's all of us, isn't it? We are children of the Lord. Why wouldn't we say, God, bless me to walk Your way. Lord, bless me to honor You. And He says He'll do it. He's promised that already. So tonight, God's concerned for you and I that He might bless us to walk in His way. And He says, if you'll call, has He not promised to answer? If you'll call, He'll answer. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the understanding and wisdom that You bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, how much You love us and how much You want to work in and through our lives in such a way that You would be seen in our lives and that we wouldn't be seen. Lord, we have nothing to give to anybody, but You have everything that's of any real value and worth. And Lord, may we seek You to perform that and to give us Your treasures, Lord, that are eternally of great value and that truly can change lives beginning with our own. Bless us all, Lord, and we'll give You the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.